You're listening to ESL Podcast English Cafe, number 295. This is English as a Second Language Podcast, English Cafe, episode 295. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Visit our website at ESLPOD.com. Download this episode's learning guide, an 8 to 10 page guide we provide for all of our current episodes that gives you some additional help in improving your English. On this cafe, we're going to talk about a very well-known science fiction movie called 2001, A Space Odyssey. We'll also talk about a figure from American popular culture in the 20th century, Bozo the Clown. And as always, we'll answer a few of your questions. Let's get started. This cafe begins with a discussion of a very well-known science fiction movie called 2001, A Space Odyssey. An odyssey, O-D-Y-S-S-E-Y, is a long, difficult trip or journey where a person, a traveler, someone who travels, has many interesting adventures. One of the most famous poems in Western literature attributed to or said to have been written by the Greek poet Homer in ancient Greece is called the Odyssey because it talks about a 10-year journey or trip that Odysseus took after the Greek victory against the Trojans in the famous Trojan War. The poem about the Trojan War, of course, is in English called the Iliad. So we have the Iliad and then the Odyssey. Well, 2001, A Space Odyssey, is a movie about outer space, that is, the rather large area outside of the planet Earth. That would include all of the stars, the suns, the moons, the galaxies, and so forth. 2001, A Space Odyssey, is actually a novel and a movie, but they were created concurrently. Concurrently means at the same time. The book was actually published or released just after the movie began to be shown in theaters. This was in 1968. And the author of both the book and the movie is Arthur C. Clarke. The movie was produced and directed by a very famous American director, Stanley Kubrick. You might remember him as the director of another famous movie, A Clockwork Orange, also based on a book. The basic plot or story of 2001, A Space Odyssey, is pretty much the same in the book and in the movie. There are some small differences. Here's the basic plot, the basic story. The movie begins here on Earth. We see early human beings, many thousands or tens of thousands of years ago, who are trying to survive. And one day they find in the middle of where they are living a huge monolith. A monolith, M-O-N-O-L-I-T-H, is a large, tall piece of stone. And this large black monolith seems to have been created by someone else. It's not a natural looking rock. They touch this monolith, and suddenly one of the members of the group figures out how to use a bone, a piece of old bone, like a bone from an animal or from perhaps a human, as a weapon and as a tool. That is, something you can use to hurt someone and something you can use to make something. Well, of course, later you will see that early man, the inventor of the tool and the weapon, use it to kill someone else. Then suddenly the movie changes and we go all the way to the year 1999. Remember, the movie was made in 1968. As the United States was preparing to send men to the moon, to land on or to be on the physical surface of the moon. In 1999, scientists on the moon discover another large monolith. They believe that this monolith may have been made by extraterrestrials. Extra means outside of or above. Terrestrial refers to terra, which is the Latin word for earth. So extraterrestrial would be something or someone from another planet, not from earth. And the scientists in the movie think that this monolith was made by extraterrestrials. You may remember the movie E.T. from the early 1980s, I believe. Well, E.T. stands for extraterrestrial. As scientists examine this black monolith, a radio signal is sent from the monolith to somewhere else. We're not sure where. Then the movie moves ahead about a year and a half. So we are in 2001, and you have five scientists who are traveling to the planet Jupiter. Two of the people are awake. The other three scientists are cryogenically frozen. To be cryogenically frozen means that you are put into a state, a condition, where you are unconscious, just like you are when you are sleeping. But you're not dead. You can be awoken at any time. This, of course, is science fiction, remember. The ship is supposed to wake up the three scientists when they reach Jupiter. It is, of course, a long ways away. The ship has a computer called HAL 9000, or just simply HAL, H-A-L. HAL is very intelligent and apparently incapable of making mistakes, or at least that's what he says. However, strange things start to happen on the ship. For example, HAL, and remember HAL is a computer, tells some of the scientists that there are things that are broken, that aren't working on the ship, when the scientists can't find anything wrong with these parts of the ship. They decide that they're going to replace the piece Hal has told them to, but they agree also that if there's nothing wrong with this piece of the ship, that instead they're going to turn off the computer named Hal. But Hal is watching them, and he is able to read their lips. To read someone's lips means you can understand what they are saying just by looking at their lips move. You can't hear them, but you can understand them. It's called lip reading. It's something that many people who are unable to hear, many deaf people, are able to do. One of the scientists goes outside of the spaceship to replace this supposedly broken piece. Hal decides to cut off the oxygen hose, and of course the scientist dies. When the other scientist, called Bowman, leaves the ship to try to rescue his fellow scientist, Hal turns off the machines that keep the cryogenically frozen scientists, the three that have been frozen, alive, and by turning off the machine, he kills the other three. So Hal has now killed four of the five scientists on this long trip, this odyssey. When Bowman gets back to the spaceship, Hal doesn't want to let him in because he doesn't want to be turned off. But Bowman sneaks back into the spaceship without Hal knowing it. To sneak, S-N-E-A-K, means to do something secretly without letting someone else find out about it. Usually it means to go into a certain place. The past tense of sneak is snuck, S-N-U-C-K. He snuck into the movie last night. That is, he didn't pay, but he was able to get into the movie theater without anyone seeing him. This is something that some people used to do when I was a kid. They would try to sneak into the movie theater or sneak into a baseball game where you had to pay money to watch it. Well, Bowman sneaks back into the ship, and once he's there, he turns off the computer Hal. Then a video message appears telling Bowman about this strange monolith that was found on the moon back in 1999. As well as the real purpose for his trip, his odyssey. The real purpose is not just to go to Jupiter, but to visit the place where the monolith's radio signal was sent. When Bowman reaches Jupiter, he finds another monolith going around the planet. Now, I don't want to tell you any more of the movie. I don't want to ruin it, to spoil it for you. But some other very interesting things happen at the end of the movie. The movie became popular and is still popular for a couple of reasons. First, remember 1968, as I mentioned, was when the American space program was trying to reach the moon. The novel and the movie coincided with, we could say, the early space program. To coincide, C-O-I-N-C-I-D-E, means for something to happen at the same time as something else. In the 1960s, the U.S. was exploring space, so there was a lot of interest in space exploration, and there were a lot of science fiction television shows and movies that became popular during this time. With this excitement about space, there was also a fear of technology, a fear that someday computers would be running our lives. And, of course, in the movie, what happens is you have the computer, Hal, thinking that he is a person and starts to do things to hurt people. The idea that technology is taking over the world is, of course, a continuing fear. Many people have those same fears about technology today. The movie is unusual, 2001, because it uses very little dialogue, meaning the characters, the people in the movie, don't talk very much. It uses a lot of unusual images, pictures, as well as a lot of classical music. Many people believe 2001, A Space Odyssey, was one of the best movies ever made. If you've never seen the movie and you like science fiction, I think you'll enjoy it. Now let's turn to our next topic, which is also a popular cultural phenomenon, we could say, from the 20th century. Bozo the Clown. A clown is a person whose job it is to make other people, especially children, laugh. Clowns normally wear very brightly colored clothing that is often too big for them. They usually wear wigs or fake hair that is often bright with unusual colors. It could be blue hair and green hair and yellow hair. Clowns also wear a lot of makeup. They paint their face white. They have a large red mouth. They often have a big red nose that they wear. That's a clown. You'll find clowns at children's birthday parties and other places where you have young children and parents who have the money to hire a clown, to pay for a clown to entertain their little children. Bozo the Clown was a character created by Alan Livingston way back in 1946 as part of a set of books to help children learn how to read. In 1948, some television stations began to use the Bozo character in their programming on their shows. Local stations created their own Bozo the Clown, so every city had their own Bozo the Clown. They all looked a little different, therefore, and had a different voice, but the basic characteristics were the same. Bozo the Clown was a television program for children. And as I said, every city had its own Bozo the Clown. Of all of the shows, however, the Bozo show in Chicago was probably the most popular. An actor by the name of Bob Bell played Bozo the Clown for 30 minutes every weekday, Monday through Friday. The show included comedy sketches, short scenes that told a short story with a lot of jokes. There was also a longer 1 hour show called Bozo's Circus. And that show had a live audience. They had people there when they were filming it. And people could win prizes. They could win money by participating in some of the games on the show. Beginning in 1978, the show was broadcast or aired nationally, and people wanted to be on the show. In fact, it was so popular, you had to put your name on a list. And at one point, there was a 10-year wait to be on this television show. A little hard to believe, but there you have it. The show went through many changes and finally ended in 2001. No connection to the previous topic of A Space Odyssey. Most Americans know who Bozo the Clown is, but you're more likely to hear the word Bozo, B-O-Z-O, in a slightly different context. When Americans are angry or frustrated, they might call someone, as an insult, a bozo. This is a rude word. It's used to talk about someone who is not very intelligent or someone who does dumb things or bad things. You might talk about someone driving in front of you, talking on their cell phone, a bozo, because, of course, that's very dangerous. You might call someone a bozo for making a mistake at the store where you are buying something. It's not a nice term. You would never want to call your boss or your wife a bozo if you wanted a job and to be married. But you will hear the term, and it is a common insult. Maybe a little less common now than it was a few years ago, but still common enough. Now let's answer some of your questions. Our first question comes from Ivan, I-V-A-N, in Brazil. Ivan wants to know how we use the following three expressions or terms, kind of, so-so, and more or less. Kind of means a little bit, somewhat. It means the same as sort of. I was kind of mad when my neighbor's dog decided to use our front lawn as his bathroom. I was kind of mad. I was sort of mad. It means I wasn't really mad. Actually, I was really mad. But in this example, I wasn't really mad. I was just a little bit mad. So-so means not good, but not terrible. How was your hamburger today? It was so-so. It wasn't great, but it wasn't the worst hamburger I've ever eaten either. My singing is so-so. It's not great, but you may have heard dogs or cats that sound worse than I do. Finally, more or less can also mean somewhat. For example, Jake felt more or less sure Cindy would go on a date with him. He wasn't completely sure, but he was more or less sure, somewhat sure. More or less can also mean approximately, especially when we're talking about specific numbers or figures. I saved $500 on my taxes this year, more or less. My parents were married 60 years, more or less. Not exactly 60, could be 58, 59, 61, 62, and so forth. Kind of and sort of are often used in American English to mean somewhat. It is a little informal. You will hear it a lot in conversational English. It's often or sometimes also used to avoid answering a question directly. or perhaps to what we might call soften your answer. That is, to not make it so that the other person would feel badly about it, or that would hurt someone's feelings. For example, if someone asks, "Do you like the present I gave you?" You might say, "Oh, yes, but it's kind of big for me." Kinda, sorta is another expression that comes from kind of and sort of. It's a informal English phrase that combines kind of and sort of. It has the same function of trying to soften a response. It means a little bit or not exactly. Did you do well on your Italian test? You might say, kinda, sorta, meaning I didn't do great, but I didn't do terrible either. So-so means not good, not bad, but it usually has a slightly negative meaning. How are you feeling today? So-so. That means that you're not really feeling well, but you're not about to die either. Nam, N-A-M, from Vietnam, wants to know the meaning of two words, firm and company. We'll actually talk about three words, firm, company, and corporation. A firm, F-I-R-M, as a noun, is a business, especially a business that deals with law or money. We talk about a law firm. That's a company of lawyers, people who work in the law. We also talk about accounting firms, companies that are involved in accounting, trying to see how much money you have or don't have. Company is a more general term. It can refer to any business making any kind of product or service. A corporation is a very large company, a large business, that typically has a special legal status. They are registered with the government, and they have certain privileges, certain rights, as well as certain responsibilities for that status of corporation. Company and business are probably the most common words used in English to describe where you work. You could say, "I work at a company that sells car tires," or "I work at a business that sells car tires." Either one would be correct. Actually, in that case, we would probably call that business a store. A store is something that sells something, often something made somewhere else. But either word could be used, store or company. Firm, as I mentioned earlier, is usually referring to a group of lawyers or perhaps accountants, although it could be used for other businesses. Nowadays, there are a lot of companies that call themselves consulting firms. They're groups of professionals that provide some sort of service to other companies. Finally, Saidi, S-A-E-I-D-I, from an unknown company. We don't know where this person is from. Maybe they're from Jupiter. Anyway, the question has to do with the use of the word get, G-E-T, before certain verb forms. For example, I'm getting married, I'm getting hungry, I'm getting sick. Well, there are a couple of different ways of using get with what we call a verb participle. One is with a present participle. This is a word ending in ing. For example, I have to get working on my math homework. We use get with the present participle of the verb to work, working, to mean to start. I have to get moving because I will be late for my appointment if I don't. I have to get going. I have to get walking. We use the word get here to mean start that particular action. When used with a past participle, a participle that ends in ed, the verb to get shows what's called the passive voice. The passive voice is when something is done by someone. For example, if you drive your bike and listen to music at the same time, you could get killed because you may not hear a car coming close to you, for example. You could get killed. Get killed. Notice the past participle ends in ed typically in English, means that someone will kill you. But get killed is the passive form. You might get killed by another bicyclist or a car. Or we might say, don't leave your camera on a table in a crowded area in public. You might get robbed. That is, someone might steal your camera. To get robbed, again, is a passive form of the verb. The idea is that you are being robbed by someone else. Finally, get can be used with an adjective to mean become. Babies get hungry every 2 hours. They get hungry. They become hungry. Or after running a long time, I get tired. I become tired after running a long time. Now, get can be used in many, many different ways. We're just talking about a couple of the ways, more common ways, with present participles, past participles, and adjectives. If there's a word or phrase that you kind of, sort of know the meaning of, but aren't certain, you can email us. Our email address is ESLPOD@ESLPOD.com. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thank you for listening. Come back and listen to us again, won't you, on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. Copyright 2011 by the Center for Educational Development.